Well, it was something all of us were enormously proud of, no doubt about that. I mean, as far back as I can remember, we still lived in Laurelton, Queens in the mid-60s, and I don't know if anybody else remembers, there used to be a show Wynn Elliott would host. I believe it was on Channel 9 or 11, I can't remember, but it was on every Saturday. It came on at 4 o'clock, and they would show the co-feature and the stake. Co-feature was the sixth race, and the stake race was the seventh race in those days in New York. And it seemed like every week we were tuning in to watch whether he had a horse in the co-feature and the feature, or almost always in the co-feature at least, and a lot of times in the feature. And, you know, it was thrilling. You know, always had those good old hard-knocking horses running in the co-feature, and they'd be winning of second, and then naturally the stakes were running against Buck Passer. One time we saw him upset a Buck Passer with Handsome Boy in the Brooklyn Handicap. That was 1967. I'll never forget that as long as I live, watching that in the den of our house in Huntington. And, I started going to the barns on the weekends when I got old enough to work around the horses, which was pretty young, I guess around 9 or 10, and then worked all the weekends and all the vacations during school, and then and all summer in Saratoga, and then graduating high school, I worked full time.
A lot of trainers' kids get into the business, but there's the other half that run away from it because they see how hard their dads work and they're gone all the time and they don't want anything to do with it. And that's kind of been a common theme as we do these shows is the split. Some trainers' kids love the game and some of them would just as soon do something else. But what was it that really got you hooked to getting in and working with your dad?
I don't know if it was something that I just held him in such high esteem, admired him so much. I just wanted to be as much like him as I could. That was pretty much what pushed me along. I mean, I liked the horses enough for sure, but you know, it was just one of those hero worship things. I just wanted to be just like him, you know, because I saw how well respected he was. Found that out from an early age, not only because of his great success, but just how admired he was by everybody because of how helpful he was to everybody around him. And, you know, I just wanted to be just like him. And I got real serious about it pretty early. You know, I knew that's what I wanted to do. Even when I was in high school, and I knew I wasn't going to go to college. I don't even think I took the SATs or anything like that. I knew I was going to go right to the track. So, That's pretty much what pushed me on.
Did your dad encourage you to follow in his footsteps and become a trainer, Jimmy?
I don't know if he encouraged me, but he didn't discourage me either. You know, he didn't. I can't ever remember him sitting me down or ever saying, "Don't you think you want to go to? You know, don't you think you want to go to college and do? You know, have a normal life?" You know, never heard him ever say anything like that. I think every father would you know, likes if their kids would go on and do what they do. You know, I think they really certainly get a satisfaction out of that.
Jimmy, you mentioned working with your dad for 20 years as his assistant before you went out on your own. You were able to share so many of those memorable moments with your dad that had to be very special. What are some of the moments that really stand out to you with those 20 years of working with him?
Well, going all around the country with Devil Is Due probably was, around that years he was running, they had that concept, the championship series where you bounced all around the country to get handicap points. I think Barry Weisbord came up with that idea, and they had it for a few years, and I thought it was terrific. And that was all getting on the van with him and going all the week. We even took the van all the way to Arkansas from Belmont. I'll never forget that. It was just me and the horse and the whole van from one end to the other. And going down there to Oaklawn, first time I was ever in Oaklawn. First time I remember seeing Bobby Baffert, he had some horses there running in the stakes and meeting everybody. And then, of course, Sky Beauty, you know, she was terrific. Just, you know, I had a we were monitoring her every step she took, you know, and it was very stressful, but at the same time very rewarding, because I think she won about 8 grade 1s or 8 or 9 grade 1s and carried a big and very big info. I never hear anybody talk about that. She carried 100, I think it was 130 or 132 pounds when she won the Hempstead Handicap 1 year. Beat a real nice filly of Mac Miller's called You'd Be Surprised. Must have gave her at least 12 or 13 pounds. But, you know, she goes down as one of the very best of all time, but it doesn't seem like she gets much recognition.
Well, you know, it's funny. I can remember as a kid growing up in Western Massachusetts, Pittsfield is where I grew up, Jimmy. And I cut my teeth on racing at Saratoga. And so I grew up following Sky Beauty and Devil Is Due, and I would take a camera to Saratoga, and I still have photo albums of those two horses at my house where I would just take pictures of them in the post parade. And I became a fan of this sport, really in large part because of those two horses.
Yeah, well, see, they were hard knocking horses, especially Devil Is Due. I mean, you can't. I think he won just under $4 million, and he ran a bunch of times, and he danced every dance. And you know, it doesn't seem like you see those kind around anymore. People are much more selective about running their horses now than they were. I sound like I'm talking about like 50 years ago, but it was only 20 years ago, not even. But that really, the game has changed a lot in even that short time. So, yeah, they were special horses, no doubt. And Missy's Mirage also was just almost as good as both of them. She gave us a lot of thrills.
When you were working with your dad, what were some of the specific things that you took away from him when you went out on your own?
Just basically, you know, attention to detail and just observing a lot. You know, just so many horses can tell you so much. Just you go by the quiet time at night and go by, and you can see little things that they do in the stall, which really can clue you in as how they're doing, you know, good or bad. And, you know, just little things like that. I can, you know, it always put it to good use. And it's
always great to have those kind of horses. You mentioned being around the barn all the time, and I think that's a hallmark that your dad has too. He makes more wardrobe changes than a Las Vegas showgirl sometimes. I was always amazed. You know, he'll go to school one, he'll put his sport coat on, he'll come back, he'll take that off, he'll put on his swim trunks, hose down the area around the barn, then he'll go back, run a horse, come back, and then he'll put on some sweatpants or something to play football with the barn help. I mean, the guy's amazing. How he spends almost all day at the barn. You don't see trainers, you know, of his caliber doing it. I know you do the same exact thing. I mean, maybe not the wardrobe changes, but you're a hands-on guy, and that's so rare in our business these days.
Yeah, well, you know, because a lot of people are having such tremendous success just being the, you know, the Highland, the business side, and that's probably, you know, where I probably need to get a little better at is, you know, you got to cultivate, you know, the old owners are going and the new ones are coming up, and they don't know you from a hole in the ground. You got to, you know, it's time to get out to. You got to go to all the sales now, and you got to cultivate the new owners. You know, you're gonna fall behind, no question about it.
Jimmy, how often do you talk with your dad about horses and maybe some of the horses you have in training?
Well, pretty often. I don't know, but we talk so much about our horses, really, back and forth. We just, you know, when they run, like he'll say, like he'll look at the paper and see I have a horse in, and then, you know, find out the result, and if it didn't run very well, he'd ask my opinion, or what do you think, why do you think, and all that kind of stuff. But then every once in a while, he'll if he has a strong feeling about, you know, something I might be missing, he'll definitely let me know.
Yeah, I think that's a hallmark of old school trainers is that, you know, they realize how hard it is to be successful in this game, and they appreciate when they win, and they like to see their friends or their relatives do well, and you don't see that a lot anymore either. You see a lot of guys that are kind of cutthroat, and they're always hustling around trying to steal your customers and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's a tough racket.
Yeah, it's gotten tough. I mean, it seems like, you just see there's an awful lot of greed in the game now. I mean, it's for some people it just seems like it's never enough. You know, it's one thing I can say about my dad is, you know, he's just as fierce a competitor as there ever was. But, like, you know, I can never, ever see him ever take any food out of anybody's mouth in the process. So, I mean, that's the greatest thing about him.
Well, Jimmy, one final question before we let you go. Where were you the day that Onion beat Secretariat?
I was on the backstretch, right where that stand is. If you guys are know Saratoga, the backstretch is a stand called the Morning Line now. It used to be a much smaller stand. It was just a little fruit stand in those days. And I remember the old people that had the stand had a TV. They had a TV hookup somehow out there. And I remember watching some of it. When they first came out of the gate on the TV and then run into the rail and watch them going down the backstretch and then go back to the TV. And then I ran back to the rail when they turned for home and I saw him in front of Secretariat when they disappeared behind the tote board. And then I'm just saying to myself, well, I know when they emerge from the other side of the tote board, which is very close to the wire, you know, Secretariat's going to be in front. And lo and behold, they came out of the other end of that tote board and their orange silks were still in front. I just couldn't believe it. And they stayed that way to the wire, about three quarters of a length in front.